All right, it is DanCast, episode 76 for May 25th. It is Memorial Day. I hope you all had a good Memorial Day celebration or time. And I hope you weren't just sitting around with your thumb up your ass. Sis, I just got back from my family thing. My sister hosted a nice get-together and took a lot of photos. And the funny thing is, I think on the previous episode, I was talking about how much I love iCloud photos. And the reason I'm doing a podcast, a recording one now, is because it takes forever for me to upload stuff. And when I upload things like photos and videos, it, because I have DSL, slows everything down. So I'm kind of, I'm kind of a sitting duck. So fuck it. Let's do a podcast. That's how they say podcast in the South. So I am maybe halfway through Mr. Joel Franklin's latest episode of him interviewing the German students. And of course, as he discovered, America's greatest export is entertainment, apparently. I think I'm at the part where one of the German exchange students mentions, you know, Joel asks, what are your favorite television shows? And they're saying things like How I Met Your Mother. Joel also mentioned another thing that was interesting, in that the cultural identity of the United States is very different than other countries in the world. Because in other countries, like in Germany, they have a distinct cultural, what would you even call it? Not a guideline, but base, I suppose. Like the food, like when you say German food, what are you thinking of? You're thinking of things like, shit, what is it fucking called? Schnitzel with noodles. What is that stuff that's like deep fried chicken? You think bratwurst? That's a typically entire country Europe, isn't it? No, I guess it's German. German music, you think of things like polkas, and you can kind of do that like country by country, except America. Because America's cultural identity has been one of, you know, the melting pot. And I remember thinking, like, this was a great idea, the melting pot. Until I learned to cook. The idea of, like, a melting pot, you know, was you put everything together and it, all the flavors mix in together, and that's kind of what you get. But when you do that in real life with a stew, tastes like fucking shit. You'd rather have German food. So that is typically what America... Sorry, I thought I saw something. That is typically what is other countries have that America doesn't have. Because America is not founded on that identity. And this is something that I read about sometimes, particularly when things like immigration come up. Is especially when people toss out things like this is a Christian nation and stuff like that. And I think that is people trying to define the United States of America with a culture that simply does not exist and or has not, I don't know the deep history of this nation. In Memorial Day, perhaps this is a good thing to reflect on, but when people say things like this country was founded on, they'll skirt around it. They'll say things like this country was founded on Christian values, because technically they're right, but the values of Christianity are the values shared by many other cultures. So, but that's still a way to kind of sneak in some of that evangelist influence in there. But I will listen to the rest of Joel's episode at some point. Tonight, what did I want to talk about? Oh, If you guys have not seen Whiplash, go see Whiplash. Get it on iTunes or Amazon or something like that. It probably is one of the best movies I have seen recently. Whiplash is, if you don't know, it's a story of this drummer, hopefully fictional story, but this drummer is entering a music school. He's trying to get better and better, and his instructor, it just pushes him to the brink. And man, oh man, this made me think of a lot of stuff at Crane, like memories coming back. Like, I don't know if you remember, it seemed like piano students had it the absolute worst, where they were just so pressured into the constant practicing, the amount of work that went into being good or went into being great. Mr. Joel Franklin and I discussed this on one of our interviews in the early days, is that we were all good. But I think what almost united us, and one thing we had all in common, as far as all of us who went to the music school, were that we were never going to be great because we didn't take it seriously, and a lot of us coasted through music school. Like, we didn't put in the effort. At least that's how I felt about myself. Maybe you guys should speak for yourself. But watching this movie, and it reminded me of people who just had problems, psychological problems, because they had put everything they had into becoming the best or trying to be better. It drove them to madness to the point that they just fucking gave up. And maybe we're happier for not doing that, but I'm going to die someday and no one's going to know who the hell I am. And they'll still know who... Maybe the exact opposite point has just been made. Whiplash also stars J.K. Simmons. And if you have ever seen the Oz show on HBO, it's like that character he plays in Oz. In Oz, he plays an Aryan, the leader of the Aryans in the prison. And he does some deplorable shit. By even prison stuff. I remember watching Oz for the very first time. I was really into Oz like 10 years ago. And it was... it just shook me to the core. Like the horrible things that happened in this fictional prison. That you can't help but think was based on actual events. But what do I know? He plays a great character. And notice I didn't use the word villain, because it is so hard to determine if he's a good guy or a bad guy. And if you watch the movie, you'll know what I mean. And it has everything that people who are into art, whether it's music or painting or drawing or storytelling or writing or anything like that, the real artistic struggle of trying to be good and trying to be great and knowing you're not where you want to be, but trying to, you know you're good enough to know you're not good enough in your mind. And I think Whiplash is all about that, along with, say, psychological mind games and shit like that. So check it out, Whiplash. I think it's like 99 cents to rent on iTunes right now, but I don't know. By the time you listen to this, might not be the case. I bought the movie because I liked it so much. I'm one of those guys who gets movies from my library. Meanwhile, the library is supposed to be this cultural center, my local library does some good things in the community. Like, sometimes they'll have like a quilting class, and then people come in, they storm the library on Friday to get the movies they want to watch for the weekend. And I think the library knows this, and that's why they put a lot of funding into the movies. But it's also a waste of time, because $7.99 a month on Netflix, you're pretty much set. On the other hand, you know, they have like educational films and movies for kids and stuff. And I suppose that's a good resource for parents. Anyway, Whiplash, watch it. Have you guys seen this fucker right in the pussy thing? I haven't learned a lot about it, but this guy goes on news coverage and says, fucker right in the pussy. And I wondered what that was all about. I guess that was a meme. M-E-M-E. Meme. And I don't know. I thought that was interesting, and I put it in my show notes to talk of my text file of things to talk about. And now here we are, and I'm ending that subject awkwardly. Allergy meds. I had, of course, it's allergy season, and I just discovered that a lot of allergy medication is just sleeping pills in disguise. The drug I'm talking about is, what is it called? Diphenhydramine, something like that. And it's actually used as a sleep aid, but it can also be used as allergy relief because it just puts you right to sleep. It says, yo, fuck this allergy. I'm going to peace out and see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. The difference is that if you buy it as a sleeping aid, it costs really, really cheap, like a dollar or something like that. If you buy it as an allergy relief, it costs like $10. So watch that. Watch out for that. The other interesting thing when I was doing this research was that the fancy thing to do is to have a drug trip on this stuff. And people will, I think people start tripping on it when you take 750 milligrams of it. I know on my sleeping aid thing, it says adult dose one or two tablets, and one tablet is 25 milligrams. So back of the napkin calculation, that's what, 16 pills to get 750 milligrams and, or no, set actually 15. No, wait, 25. It's a lot of pills. I can't math right now. And if you go on Reddit and search for people trying this out, so a lot of them are like, I'm going to try this out. And then the follow-up story is, don't ever do this. They have fucking night terrors. Like, there was one reaction where the guy thought he was being eaten by fucking giant spiders or something like that. And that is... I can understand why people do drugs, but I can't understand why they do things that will get them, make them want to have a drug trip that makes them think they're being torn apart by spiders or sharks or some shit like that. And I think a lot of people just go into it with not knowing. They're ignorant about that. And they're like, yeah, fucking whatever, I'll try anything once. And then they're being torn apart by spiders. So watch out for that. I know I take two of these things, and I am done in 20 to 30 minutes. My head starts feeling heavy. I got to get into bed. I have trouble even waking up 8 hours later. I'm all groggy. So to have like 14 of these pills, Jesus Christ, it's a lot of... plus the fucking abuse it must do to your body to take this drug. Oh boy. So if you want to do that, there's plenty of resources on the internet for you to, look at and, learn how to either relieve your allergies, go to sleep more easy, or trip balls. That drug is also kind of cheating. I had bought some to like break glass in case of emergency. Like, I don't ever want to use it, but if I need to, I have it. And really the trick, I think, to falling asleep easily is to just turn off all your screens at 9 o'clock. Did I already talk about this? It's almost 8:30, so I should probably, I'm going to have a hard time maybe doing that tonight. I'm not quite at rest. That's why I'm doing a podcast. I have been reading this book called, I can't remember the name of the book. It's one of those paleo books. It's not The Paleo Solution. The author is John Durant, I think is his name. Let's look it up real quick. John Durant, paleo. And of course, my internet is real slow. Still nothing coming up. DSL, man. I think his name's John Durant. And it has an interesting... Most books on paleo... I've read like two books... two books on paleo lifestyle. But this actually approaches some sort of cultural basis for it. And what was very interesting is there's a chapter in there about Judaism and how early Jews had, you know, a strict religious code, or I don't know if code's the right word, guidelines. Things like, you know, don't eat shellfish, don't eat swine because it's a filthy animal, and there's a lot of rules in there about how often you should wash your hands. And these religious rules had kept Jews together and alive for, you know, eons. Is eon the right word? Probably not. Thousands? Tens of thousands? Hundreds of thousands of years? And it is all based on things not necessarily science, but it aligned in such a way you have to wonder what the fuck is going on here. Like, the shellfish thing. The rule was don't eat shellfish because if you eat shellfish, God is going to punish you and strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger. Those who oppose my brothers, and so if you eat, and a lot oftentimes you would eat shellfish and you would die, but that wasn't God doing that. It was the fact that shellfish were bottom dwellers, and they had, the water was so polluted in those days because they shit where they ate. And, you know, shellfish would be at the bottom and soaking all this stuff up. So people who sinned and ate the shellfish would get, you know, poisoned and die. And back then, it makes you think, like, these rules that were established just to keep motherfuckers alive. And you start thinking of, like, how many other rules in religion had... Put aside anything that has to do with there being a god. There was something about having rules that kept man, like, happy and healthy, you know? And that is such an odd way, a strange way to think about religion. I think maybe, at least for me, it used to be that way for a while. I'm kind of coming around to it. You don't eat swine because the same reason. Like, it's going to fucking kill you because pigs root around and shit. So, Jews who ate the swine died. So, what happened? They just said, fuck this, we're going to make it a law that says don't do this. And now then it was in a book, and Jews read that, and they stuck to the rules, and they don't, now, you know, 2015, they don't eat swine. Although, I did meet a guy once who put aside all that shit. he was Jewish, and he was the kind of guy who, you know, volunteered in his, what do they call it? What is church in Judaism? I almost said mosque, but it's not that. Fuck, I can't think of the word. Anyway, this guy took his religion seriously, but he's, you know, ate bacon, eats lobster, things like that. What else was in the book? Things like washing hands, the amount of examples and times like Jews would be washing their hands in the old days, just like, not, you know, not necessarily with soap, but just rinsing them, like if they were fucking around with cadavers, and they'd rinse their hands off. And other people didn't do that because germ theory didn't exist until the 1800s. That is something else also mind-blowing, is like 200 years ago, we didn't know fucking germs existed. And about 60? No. About 50 years ago, we were walking on the moon. The incredible progress that has been made in a relatively short time is very interesting to me. And back, you know, thousands and thousands of years, it's like they knew about germs, but they didn't know about germs, and they didn't know about eating food from polluted sources. What they knew is that for some reason, if you did that, it would kill you. So they just said, don't do that or God's going to kill you. And so people who followed the rules, they did all right. And people who didn't died. So it, the explanation checked out. That is the most interesting thing that in these paleo books is the first time I've ever read anybody talking about that. So if you're at all, and I haven't even gotten into like lifestyle and diet yet. Although I'm pretty sure what it's going to say, but the intro, introductory chapters talking about like, all right, here's how things were. And, the amount of things, like they didn't know why, but they knew not to, is interesting to me. What else is going on? That's about it. That's really it. Hope you guys had a good Memorial Day weekend. I am going to be busy as shit, I think is the term. I am in the same show I mentioned the previous episode. I will have rehearsal every goddamn night this week, which I am not looking forward to. I am almost off book, which is good. My show opens next weekend. I was looking at the costumes. Supposedly, my costume is supposed to be a Colonel Sanders looking type outfit. And I don't have a white suit. So I'm going to have to make do with something. All right. Talk to you guys later. Take care.